Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be honoring to you. Amen. So it was late June in upstate New York near Buffalo, where I grew up, and the school year had ended, but graduation hadn't happened yet. And my jazz band director had asked a bunch of us kids in the jazz band if we would come over to the high school and help set up chairs and music stands for the graduation band that would be happening the next day. It was a Friday. It was a hot June day at that cusp of summer, and I got up early that morning, and I wasn't a driver yet, though I was 16, and my junior year would be starting in just a few short months. And so I hopped on my bicycle and rode about a mile and a half over to my high school and had a chance to lift lots of music stands, lots of chairs, and haul them out from the school all the way onto the football field and back. A lot of fun to be with my friends and to work together to get ready for graduation the next day, where most of us would be playing in the band as the graduates walked up onto the stage on the football field. Well, when we were done, I went back over the highway bridge with a friend, and we raced our bicycles around in one of the school parking lots over there at the elementary school where we'd gone, and chased each other around on our bicycles for a good couple hours until around lunchtime. After that, he took off the other direction, and I turned the corner toward my parents' house. And as I went down the main road there called Willow Ridge, which was actually pretty small and didn't have much traffic at all, I felt myself getting weaker and everything started to feel like it was going in slow motion. I felt like I was dizzy and had tunnel vision at the same time. And as I continued down the road, my pedaling got slower and slower. And my last thought was, where can I crash that soft? And I tipped over on my bicycle, going about 2 miles an hour, and landed on the grass between the sidewalk and the road, next to the curb, not hurting, but also not really awake. And it must have been a minute or two later, I woke up. Nobody was around. It was a weekday and a workday kind of neighborhood where people were off and at their jobs, and nobody was around, nobody walking, nobody driving. And I laid there and thought, I don't think anybody's going to help me. I didn't pray while I laid there. I didn't really think too much about what was possible. I was just glad that I wasn't hurt. It was a hot, hot day. And I opened my eyes. I was still pretty immobile. But at least I thought I'm in the shade of some kind of tree that's right here near the road. I felt stupid and stuck. I felt stupid and stuck because I had chosen not to eat breakfast or drink any water at all that day and had done tons of exerting myself and had pretty much ran out of steam. And stupid and stuck is often where sin puts each of us. When we do the wrong thing, say the wrong thing, hurt someone we love, break the rules, break the law. When we look into ourselves, we can say to ourselves, wow, that was so stupid. I am so ashamed. I don't know how things will ever be right again. How will she ever forgive me? How will he be able to love me again? Will my kids grow up and wonder about the way I did things? On a regular basis, we sin. Sometimes by doing something and knowing we are doing wrong. That's a sin of commission. Other times, we forget something or someone, ignore them. That's a sin of omission. Either way, we fall short. Paul makes this clear in his letter to the Romans, in Romans 3:23, when he writes, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us are perfect. Far from it, we fall. And without him, we can't even get up. We're stranded on the side of life's road." But you know what? We aren't stuck there in that mud. We have a God who will come to save us, a God who loves us so much that he was willing to stop what he was doing out in a place where time was from beginning to end, and he could see it all. Into all time, he decided to stop and send his son to a time not too long before ours. He chose to help us up out of our sin, knowing full well that we would never be perfect on our own, but that his son would come to rescue us when we fall, lift us up when we are down, and we didn't do a thing to make that happen. We just have a loving God who knows that we need help, a loving God who knows to come to us when we are stuck, a loving God who notices us to the point where he knows each one of us by name and calls us by name on the day of our birth, our baptism, and throughout our lives. He says to us, Gary, I love you. Shirley, I love you. You are mine. Cara, I love you. You are mine. Tom, I love you. You are mine. Linda, I love you. You are mine. And the list goes on. God asks only that we reform, that we ask for forgiveness and repent. Reformation in our heart begins with repentance, turning away from our striving and techniques to cover sin in order to keep doing it. What God wants is a change of mind and heart. What God wants is a return to God in joy, a trusting of the source of our life, and for each of us to be renewed in our work and play, to care for our neighbor and the world God loves. Today is Reformation Sunday, and the reform that the founders of our church sought was in the end a reform for each of us, so that we would be able to see God's love and to respond with our confession and repentance and see God's forgiveness. Here we are, blessed to be in God's presence, worshiping a God who gave so much for us. And in Paul's words, we know of our sins through the law, and we're forgiven through the gospel, the good news. It is by grace that we survive. No, not just survive, but thrive. Thrive because we are each forgiven people, justified not by ourselves or anything we can do, but by Christ. Christ who came for us, justified by waters of baptism, justified by God's word, justified by Christ's death and resurrection, which we celebrate in Holy Communion, forgiven to keep on living, to get up, to forgive each other, to go forth, knowing that because we are loved, we can love our neighbor, our spouse, our brothers and sisters, forgiven to forgive, loved to love. This is good news. So let's finish the story about the bike ride gone wrong. Things were not looking good. I was stuck on the side of the road. No cars passed. Our neighborhood was quiet. I didn't think to pray. I just kept kicking myself for not eating or drinking anything that day. And finally, I had the strength to stand and then to grab my bike and put it upright. And then to walk with it slowly down the sidewalk. And finally to get on it and ride very slowly until I arrived home. I could decide that my strength came from myself, but I didn't really have that much left. Instead, I placed the responsibility for that renewed strength on God, our God, who while he could judge and let me stay down and stuck, send his son for me and for you to lift us up, forgive our sins, and give us a second chance to pull us up, look into our eyes, and say, I love you. Keep going. Use your life to serve me. Today is Reformation Sunday, when we remember that one of the greatest accomplishments of the Reformers was that they opened the Scriptures to us in new ways, in our own language, and allowed us to see that we are not stuck in sin, but rather we are freed from sin by God's grace. Enjoy the freedom that each one of you has as a forgiven child of God, and share that good news that God lifts you up. Share that good news with someone else this week. Amen.